And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Here's a fart coming up, especially for you. There you go. All the best. Bye-bye.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024, but this is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeeth here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
That's super producer worldwide, Wob. Not just producer.
Thank
super
you. Thank
producer
you, Skeeth. Appreciate
of
that.
No Dunks and Is This Good, and No Buffs, which is coming up in mere hours here. You Survivor fans, around 1 p.m. Eastern, TK, JD, and myself breaking down episode 6 of Survivor 46. Weird episode. Survivor limbo going on. So we'll get into it. It's got its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed, all that good stuff. And then tomorrow, because we're doing The Drop today, this is our final live show, but we got a fun one premiering at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube, obviously turning it into a podcast as well. Film session. Tass and Trey talking with the directors of the basketball documentary Handle With Care, the legend of the Nautic Streetball Crew. Awesome doc. So you guys will be chopping it up with them. That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Can't wait. So let's get into today's basketball content. The Drop, rapid fire fun. You're taking over for Worst of the Week.
Yeah, some good candidates this week.
Okay, got some nominees. And we had some insane results in the NBA last night. We're starting today's show with Malachi Flynn. That's right. The Pistons bench player, Malachi Flynn, former Raptor, former Nick for a second.
For a second.
Plays for the Pistons. He put up 50 points in a loss to the Hawks last night. His previous career high, 27. Malachi Flynn goes for 50 in the fortress. What?
How many names would you have named before you got to Malachi Flynn as a random guy who's going to score 50 points? 300?
Yeah,
like, when
somewhere
would that
around
ever
there,
come up?
It's yeah, about that.
I'm like, Sadiq Bey, man. That guy had a 50-point game.
True.
He's a starter. Like, he played big minutes. He shot threes. Malachi Flynn, though, going for 50. The way I found out about this was in a group chat, Skeets. I was not locked into Pistons Hawks last night.
What?
Sorry,
I thought you were a sicko.
Look, I've taken a lot of Hawks lately. Yeah. I certainly have. But then I see a text. Who was it? Gavin, I think, sent it. It said, Malachi Flynn? I was like, what'd this guy do? A cool dunk? Like, that would be surprising to me. Malachi Flynn throwing down a huge dunk. I go to the box score. He didn't start. So I got to scroll down.
Yeah.
50 points you see off the bench joining Jamal Crawford on the Suns and Nick Anderson on the Magic. Guys that score 50 off the bench. He averages 5 points per game in his career. So he could go scoreless the next 9 games and just keep it perfect. This was incredible. Just seeing this happen, like, it's on par with me for Ben Uzo getting a triple-double in the last game of the season. Like, for a guy that's a completely random name. And it just shows you how good NBA players are, because, I don't know, I guess that if you had asked me before last night, how many NBA players can score 50? I would have been like 50% of them.
Hmm.
But now I'm like 90% of them. If Malachi Flynn's putting up 50 in a game.
Incredible. He also had 6 boards, 5 assists, a whole bunch of steals in 34 minutes. Yeah, coming off the pine. His name automatically gets added to the list of random guys to score 50 in a game. We are talking your Corey Brewers and your Tony Delks.
Yeah.
And really your Jamal Crawfords, who did it like at 39 years old in the final game of the season. But you see there, this was Tim McMahon tweeting, the lowest career average entering a 50-point game. Malachi Flynn, 5.2. Oh yeah, Terrence Ross, there's another one. Back in the Raptors doing that one, 7.4. And some other names there. But like, I was like, when I saw the WhatsApp message come through, Malachi Flynn, and then you see that it's 50 points, you immediately go, okay, how many threes did he hit? Like, that's what immediately what I thought. I was like, damn, he must have hit 10, 11, 12, like maybe more three-pointers. He only hit 5. This guy was cooking in the mid-range. He was cooking at the rim.
A lot of layups.
He could have looked at his left hand all night. Did you see how many left-handed layups he had?
He's got a great left.
I then had to check. Hold on. He's not left-handed. He's shooting with his right. He was finishing with his left time and time again. And then the way he got 50 was sort of weird at the end. Pistons were hanging around. Like, the Hawks got the win. I did say this came in a loss. But they're hanging around. You know, he's at 48 because he had just hit a big sort of pull-up three to, like, cut the lead a bit, And then... you know, the Pistons, like, we're like, we got to get back into this. We got to throw, like, a trap sort of at half court. Yeah. They coughed it up, the Hawks did, and they kicked it ahead to Malachi Flynn, and that was points number 49 and 50. And, you know, like, it was, like, again, in a loss, but they were still in the game. They were fighting to extend the game. So, yeah. Like, they needed all 50 to even make it a game.
I think he joined Tony Delk and Corey Brewer as guys who hadn't scored 30 points in a game before getting to 50. We also had Jalen Johnson getting his first triple-double in this game, so it made me think, what's going to happen next? Another Jalen Johnson triple-double or Malachi Flynn scoring 30 again? I'm not going to... Look, I don't think he's going to get 50 again in an NBA game. I'm going to go out on that limb.
But 30...
But 30, it's possible. They still got some time here. Maybe he gets a start now that we see how much of a microwave scorer he is. But just wild stuff to see Malachi Flynn put up 50. Like, when Sadiq Bey did it, it made sense a little bit, right? Like, even Corey Brewer was a number 7 draft pick. Like, he was a high pick.
Yes.
Tony Delk was a great player in college. Malachi Flynn, it felt like he got drafted because he was similar to Fred VanVleet by the Raptors. It never worked out there. He's been traded around. He hasn't really found his place in the game, but then he goes out for 18 for 25. I didn't really feel like he was ball hogging that much either.
No.
He was taking good shots. Also had 5 assists, 5 steals, like clearly the best game of his career. He said he wasn't going to enjoy it all that much because the Pistons did lose. This is a very Pistons accomplishment. A reserve scores 50. Their two other high scorers have 11 points. Their biggest lead is 1, and they never lead in the second half of the game. This was very much a Pistons thing going down, but really cool for him. He said he'll enjoy it in a couple of days.
He said he had never even had a 50-point game in any level of basketball. He said in high school he had 49 and his coach took him out. And he was still pissed about that. You know, he could have had 50 in that game, I guess. But for those that don't know, he was the 29th pick in the 2020 draft. And he had some bright moments, honestly, as a rookie for the Raptors. But then struggled to find any sort of consistent role. There was always like a small little group of Raptors fans that were convinced this guy was a hooper and should have got more chances. But, you know, then he gets traded in the OG RJ Barrett deal there with Quickly going, so he's moved to the Knicks. And then he gets traded again, part of the Bogdanovich and Alec Burks trade to the Pistons, and that's why he's there. Again, I mean, I think you could have quizzed like actual NBA fans last night before the game, like, do you know who Malachi Flynn plays for?
Do you know who Malachi Flynn is?
You could start with that, and then if they said yes, do you know who he plays for? I'm not sure you're going to get a lot of correct answers, but here's my final note on this incredible performance. My buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish. Yeah. He is on a live sports event heater. Let me explain. On Monday night, my buddy Grish is in Houston to watch the Astros pitcher, Ronel Blanco, throw the first no-hitter of the season. Grish is there. He's cheering for the Jays, who got waxed. They got no-no'd. But, you know, at some point in the seventh, especially eighth inning, you're like, I'm here. I want to see a no-hitter.
Yeah,
I would
do
the same, right? So that happens. Guess where my buddy Grish was last night? He was down at the Fortress watching his Pistons lose to the Hawks. But what happens? You get the most random 50-point game in NBA history. I think that's fair to say. So here is his schedule, guys. He's headed to Cincinnati for a baseball game on Saturday. Okay. The guy's a sicko. The guy loves sports. He just wants to check off every stadium and all that. But Saturday, Mets, Reds, my buddy Grish in attendance.
Okay.
What's going to happen? I think somebody's going to hit for the cycle or, I mean, look, a perfect game?
Yeah.
That would be next level. If that happens, then it gets officially creepy. But I was like, maybe somebody hits for the cycle. Maybe, like, somebody steals home. Like, something, like, really rare, but, like, semi-achievable.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis, 2 grand slams in the same inning.
Sure.
Mark Witten, isn't that a guy who hit 4 dingers in a game once upon a time? You got to go to a lot of sporting events to see these kind of things happen. Grish is doing it. Did he order a Malachi Flynn jersey last night? I know that guy loves jerseys.
Yeah, he's my godson will be wearing a Malachi Flynn jersey next time I see him, no doubt. Yeah. Who's the star player on the Reds? L.A. De La Cruz, the young guy?
Oh, yeah. He's not Chris Sabo anymore. Huh?
No, it's not Sabo. So I think De La Cruz is going to go for a hit for the cycle there on Saturday. Crazy stuff. Any other notes there on an insane 50-point burger?
Well, not specifically about Malachi Flynn, but the Hawks did tie the Bulls for... Technically, they're tied in ninth right now in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls, though, have the tiebreaker on the Hawks. They're up 2-1 this season, but the Hawks have definitely been playing better than the Bulls have in the past couple of weeks here. They've won 6 of their last 7. I think they're 2nd in offense in those 7 games, 12th in defense, 5th in net rating. They're peaking right now. The Bulls are kind of scuffling, winning games that they should lose and losing games that they should win. So, selfishly, I wouldn't mind if it keeps up like this, because I'll go down to the play-in tournament with Grish and we'll see somebody break the 100-point game or something
exactly.
But it doesn't count because it's in the play-in tournament.
Oh, wow.
Imagine that.
Somebody goes for 101.
DeRozan, 101 record, game winner. Doesn't matter.
Does it matter? Yeah. All right, moving on. The Celtics clinched the NBA's best record last night. Runaway victory against OKC. Now, there's no SGA. There's no J-Dub again. People are starting to wonder, are the Thunder tanking the season away here a little bit? And here's what I mean. They don't want the first or second seed. Because have you seen the teams in the play-in? Like, you could be looking at a Curry Warriors. You could be looking at a LeBron Lakers. Hey, you know what would be nice? Maybe that little third slot. Because they've fallen to the third seed. Anyway, Celtics just you know, beat the snot out of them. I mean, they trailed for like 62 seconds in this game, Boston did.
Yeah.
And Porzingis was a monster, 27 points, 12 boards, 5 blocks. Great call from Mark Jones on the call. Put Thunder players in the friend zone. That's what Porzingis did on the block. Great line. They won 135 to 100. And now they have the best record in the NBA. Like, from here on out, nobody can catch them. Home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, I think JJ also said that it looked like Porzingis was playing against the world's tallest player development coaches, how easily he was scoring in the lane. Like, Porzingis was great in this game, but I completely believe the conspiracy theory that OKC's trying to game their seeds a little bit here. Obviously, they want to be at full health going in to the playoffs, but they are 1-3 against the Lakers and 2-1 against New Orleans, 3-0 against Phoenix, and 2-1 against Dallas. Maybe they look at that as a more favorable matchup, or maybe they're just preserving their guys.
Yeah,
but,
probably a bit of both.
Nonetheless, that's why when we look at who has the hardest schedules at the end of the season and who plays the most playoff teams and all that kind of stuff, it kind of doesn't matter because you do not know who is going to be suiting up for any of these teams. As for the Celtics, this has got to be the year, right? Like, if it isn't this year, when is it going to happen? They've got the best record in the league. They got 60 wins.
Yep.
They've got a historic point differential, currently 5th behind 4 title teams, best in the NBA since KD's first season with the Warriors.
Wow. They're healthy?
They're healthy.
Yep.
They're pretty balanced.
Yep.
Like, literally the only question mark you would probably have about the South, is maybe their bench, right? Like, some of the bench guys aren't quite as established as their starting lineup is, but obviously their starters are going to play a whole bunch. So, I mean, the Celtics are going to be the favorites, certainly in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably co-favorites with the Nuggets right now, but if it doesn't happen for the Celtics, what else can they do?
Yeah, right.
Who could they possibly add to make this team any better? It doesn't even make sense. So
you'd have to go talk Phil Jackson out of retirement or something to come coach the team. It's a good point. I mean, I think this is it's going to sound weird to say, but this season for the Celtics, 60-16.
Yeah.
They're very likely going to be, a 64, 65, 66 win team here. That's a really good team. I feel like it sort of hasn't been talked about all that much, sort of this domination that you brought up, the net rating and all that. But then you go back over the last couple of years and you think of the teams that have won, let's say, 64-plus games. That's rarefied air. You start to get into that. The Suns won 64 games in the 21-22 season.
Mm-hmm.
That one ended poorly with a Game 7 one of the worst performances we ever saw in a Game 7 to the Dallas Mavericks in the second round. The Rockets won 65 games in the 2017-18 season. They lost in 7 games in the Western Conference Finals. This is the whole Chris Paul series and all that. And then before that, the Warriors won 67 games in the 16-17 season. They went on to win the title. I just bring that up because The Celtics are going to be a part of that list. I think they're going to have 64, 65 wins. And we're going to see here, is it some upset in a second round or conference finals? Or is it winning the title? Or is it losing to the Nuggets because nobody can seem to beat them?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out here. But it's a great point of like, what do you do if you don't win this year? If you win 65 games, you're clearly the number one team in the league. You have the depth. You have experience. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I honestly don't know, except like, all right, run it back. And hopefully everything breaks right for us the next year. But
yeah,
we'll see.
I mean, the Celtics go to the conference finals all the time. Basically, they're there every single season since Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have showed up. But this is domination in the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks are 13 games behind the Celtics in the second seed. The Hawks and the Bulls are closer to the Bucks than the Bucks are to the Celtics. That's crazy.
Wow. I mean, I'd like, what's the biggest gap between the number one seed and the number two seed over the last, let's say, decade? Has anything ever been bigger than 13 games? Which could
doubtful.
Even
sounds like a Schumann
which
stat.
Could balloon even more. Yeah, come on, Schumann. He's probably already got that in a
ranking. I'm sure he does.
Nugget.
Yeah.
All right, so Celtics win. They are the number one seed throughout the postseason. Let's move to one of the more entertaining games. A little weird ending to this, but Paolo Banchero, 32 points, lifted the Magic over the Pelicans. Zion injured his finger in this game. It looked scary when Gary Harris sort of slipped trying to poke the ball away and took out Zion's legs. He seems okay, thankfully. But then we had three Pelicans players at the end of the game. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
They got ejected in the final, like, 8 seconds of the game. Game's over. Like, I mean, it's done. Banchero had put it away. Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III, and then Dyson Daniels all got tossed, like, one after another for saying stuff to the ref, complaining to the ref. I think I forget who the official was, but they were a temper boy there last night. They were like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, 7 seconds left, and they're like, we can't take this anymore. Maybe one guy
maybe
deserves
one
to get
guy,
ejected,
yeah.
And then you're like, okay, we'll calm down. But Herb tossed, Trey tossed, and then I feel like it was maybe 45 seconds until Dyson Daniels got in the mix, and he got tossed as well. It was a pretty physical game. Both sides were complaining. There were technicals earlier for players complaining about missed calls. And then, you know, I mean, the Zion and Gary Harris thing was probably just leaves a bad taste, certainly in the Pelicans' mouth. And I think they're not getting calls down the stretch. But these two teams are a cool matchup for each other because they play kind of similar with a lot of size on both sides. They both want to get to the basket for the most part. And then you got a big, huge playmaking dude who handles the ball on both sides in Zion and Paolo. And I thought Paolo was so good in this one.
Yeah.
Had a sick dunk, had a Euro, and dunked it right on top of Herb Jones's head. Herb? Just called him Herb?
Herbs and spices.
Herbs and spices. Only Orlando's third win over a 500 team since the All-Star break. They've had a pretty easy schedule, which is why they're doing so well in the standings. But they really took care of business. Paolo was awesome. Franz, I thought, was really great in this one as well. And I guess the Magic just were able to get over the edge, especially with Zion. I think he sat like the last 7 minutes. The good part is that they said he was sitting because of the finger. More so than because of anything that happened with his knee on that Gary Harris play. And that was just a weird play. Like, it looked like he was going for the ball and had a poorly timed slip, which led to him really chop blocking Zion.
Totally. It could have been so much worse. Yeah. And we're waiting to find out like how severe the finger is, which I think he like sort of hit on the rim, right? On a block attempt, if I remember correctly.
And then he said he got hit a bunch more times on the finger.
Yeah,
it was
physical. I mean, the Magic even talked about it. It was like, that's how we play. Like, we love it. They want to play like a football game, this team. I'm glad you brought up Franz, though. He did have a good game. 24 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 3 of 6 from deep, 5 assists, 2 boards, and a block. This was one of his best three-point shooting games since, like, early March. This has sort of gotten overlooked a little bit because I think the Magic have had such a great season, you know, where they are seeding-wise. The identity as a defensive-minded team, Paolo sort of blossoming into a star. Franz is shooting 28% from deep this season. Third year, we sort of expected this would be a big sort of like explosion year for this guy, what we saw in international play, and he just hasn't been able to hit the three. So, you know, good game here. Good timing if he can find that shot a little bit, because that's one thing the Magic do need, shooting, three-point shooting. And we would have thought Franz would be sort of one of those guys. But he just had a really bad year from deep.
I had him as my most improved player coming into this season. And it definitely feels like he has plateaued. I mean, he's still a really good player. Great at getting into the lane. Has a really tricky package of finishes. Like, when he gets in the lane, you think he's probably going to score. But I guess three-point shooting is the next thing for him to work on. Because he said on the JJ Redick podcast that he's been working on the craft of the pick and roll lately, and you can tell in the way he plays it, the way he like gets guys on his hip, keeps them in jail, and then explodes to the rim. My dad told me yesterday that Aaron Rodgers once told Justin Fields, when you're young, you should pick one thing to focus on, to improve on, every summer.
Like during the summer.
Yep. And I think that that's the next thing for Franz.
All right. Okay. Something. So you're going to take it for most improved next year? Just double down?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay.
See, I should have done that, because last year, I had Tyrese Maxey as my most improved player. He didn't win it. If I would have doubled down this year,
wow, could have did it. You're a year too soon.
I'm in on Franz, yeah.
All right, Franz for MIP next year. New Orleans has lost 3 straight, 4 or 5. They have slipped from 4th now to 7th in the Western Conference. So they are just half a game in front of 8th place Sacramento. So we knew that was going to happen. We kept saying this for weeks. You have sort of one bad stretch here, and you could fall pretty significantly in the standings. And for the Pelicans right now, you know, no Brandon Ingram and just like playing some good teams here and coming up short. So they've slipped a little bit. But,
and they're all home losses too, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, true. The Suns, they're going up. They're trending in the right direction. Booker, another 40 points. Suns improved their playoff position 122-101 over the Cavaliers. Just the second time this season that Booker and Durant have both scored at least 30 points in the same game. Booker 40, KD 32. Suns have won 6 of the last 8.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that that was only the second time this season that they both went over 30, because it feels like they can summon that basically whenever they want to, and I guess they can. Like, they're both averaging about 27 points per game, KD and Booker, but there's not a lot of shots to go around to actually get to that. But that's tricky for the Suns, because when you think about the Suns going into the playoffs, you're like, they're going to need 30 from Booker and Durant in a lot of these games, probably 4 times a series. It seems reasonable that they can both do that. We saw it against the Nuggets last year when they combined for 80, basically, in back-to-back games and the ones that they won.
Yep.
But if they're only doing it twice during an 82-game regular season, maybe there's reasons to be skeptical. But I did think the Suns played really well in this one. The Cavs did a good job to at least get back into it in the second half, but this was basically a blowout and was pretty much over at the end of halftime. I don't remember exactly how many. Phoenix scored 70-something in the first half, and J.B. Bickerstaff said afterwards, it's really hard to come back from that. And it was. You know, the Cavs were playing from behind the entire time. They just didn't shoot it quite well enough to get in.
This was your classic NBA game where one team goes up 20 to 25 points sort of early, first half. Then in that third quarter, in the second half early, the team that's down puts together a good run, makes the score respectable for a little bit, and then they run out of gas, right? And then it balloons once again to like sort of that 20-point lead, and that's what happened here. But you watch these games over the last couple of weeks with the Suns, and this is why you go, they're going to be very difficult still to beat, either coming out of the play-in or in a playoff series, because they've jumped into the actual playoffs now, which is huge for them. Like, you know, because they're so hot and cold, I like them a lot more in the 6th spot in a series with obviously a good team, one of the top 3 teams, but then I do of like, hey, one win and you're in type of game. Because they can, be dominant, but we've seen them like put up stinkers. So right now they're in that 6th spot and they would be playing OKC, which would be a tasty first round.
That would be interesting.
Thunder-Suns would be fun.
I wonder who the consensus pick would be, because Thunder obviously are the better team.
Yep.
They've got an MVP candidate of their own in SGA and another guy who makes big-time shots in Jalen Williams, but they're such a young team. And then you look on the other side, and it's all guys who have been around for a long, long time. Kevin Durant's got finals MVPs under his belt. Devin Booker has been there.
Yep.
Bradley Beal, he has played in the playoffs. At least that's something he's got over a lot of these Thunder guys.
True.
But, I would probably be taking the Thunder, but we'll see how it plays out down the stretch.
I know. We can't even get excited about any potential playoff matchup, because you're like, well, tomorrow it'll be different.
Yep.
They'll have a completely different opponent, and then, you know, that'll change the day after. Just too jumbled there in the Western Conference. Other games last night, anything you want to touch on? I mean, we had Scoot out-dueling Brandon Miller. He had a good game. Good Scoot game, okay. And they got a win to snap a huge losing streak for Portland over the Hornets. AD monster game as they beat the Wizards. The Nets beat the Pacers, 115-111. The Nets are still eliminated from postseason contention, but still, they beat the Pacers.
Yes.
Jaren Jackson Jr. and the Grizzlies beat the Bucks. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s balling right now.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is not. And then Anthony Edwards, Nasri, drop your Nasris in the chat. They destroyed the Raptors 133-85 to move back into a tie in first place in the West. Yeah. Any thoughts on it?
I thought this was a bad loss for the Pacers, because they dropped into the play-in now against Philadelphia is who they would have to go up against. And obviously Embiid just came back. We'll see how he looks in a couple of weeks here. But one thing I did like from the Pacers side is they really force-fed Siakam late in this one. He went for 15 points on 7 of 11 shooting in the fourth quarter, but he got 8 shot attempts in the clutch down the last 5 minutes, finished six of them. They got him for these kind of moments.
Yeah.
Somebody who can be an ISO scorer and you can just dump the ball to, and hopefully he can get a good shot. He was pretty good in this one. The bad side is that they just couldn't get a stop against the Nets during clutch time, and then Obi Toppin had like a brutal turnover and then a really brutal three-point shot as well that kind of put the comeback, halted the comeback.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing the Pacers working to get Siakam involved late, because there have been a lot of games that I've seen the Pacers give it away in the clutch, and it just feels like they're ignoring Siakam just because they don't really understand quite how to fit him in yet. That's probably something that happens over the summer whenever he signs his deal and Rick Carlisle has a chance to draw up offenses that are centered around a point guard in Halliburton and Siakam, yeah, rather than like Halliburton centered. So, you know, they lost the battle, but perhaps they'll win the war.
Possibly. And again, the Bucks loss. I didn't see who Doc Rivers threw under the bus. Maybe the bus driver himself. It's possible.
I mean, they lost to the Wizards and the Grizzards.
Yeah.
In back-to-back nights.
It's not bad.
It's not good.
And if you look at the standings here in the Eastern Conference, sort of at the top, the Bucks are only two games up on the Magic. Only two and a half up on the Knicks. You know, it's Milwaukee, Cleveland, Orlando, and New York, you know, two through five there. We thought Milwaukee, like a couple weeks ago, we're like, oh, okay, they're clearly the number two seed. No, they're not. They're not even guaranteed to be hosting a first-round series. They probably will still, but it's not good here. I know Damian Lillard again last night.
Yeah. It
looked horrible without.
No Middleton, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. So short guys, but still. We're talking about the, what did you call them? The Wizards and the Grizzards?
The Wizards and the Grizzards.
It's not good.
It's not good. You would like to be peaking right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're trying to game some seeds, too. I don't know exactly who they would be aiming for to play in the first round, because if they dropped a three, they would be playing against the Heat. That didn't go well in last first round.
No, you're right, right. I guess because like we were just saying with OKC, are they like, oh, we don't want to see Embiid if he comes out of the play-in, or we didn't want to see Miami if they come out of the play-in again, but now Miami's up to six, yeah. You can't game the system like that.
You
just got to win the
games,
Doc.
Yeah.
You got to win them. All right, let's move to some Basketball Hall of Fame news. Yesterday, Shams reported that Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups have been elected into the Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2024. There will be more names announced this weekend, part of the Final Four festivities when they do this. So we'll get the full 2024 class. But these are the, you know, the big NBA names. Shocked at all by the selections of Vince Carter and or Billups?
I would say Chauncey Billups is more of a surprise than Vince Carter is. Vince had such a long career, had such high peaks. Obviously, unlike Chauncey Billups, he never got an NBA championship.
Nope.
But he was one of the great players, all NBA, several times. Chauncey, though, I do think is a little surprising, though he does have a Finals MVP, which matters. I think there's one guy who has a Finals MVP, Cornbread Maxwell, who is not in the Hall of Fame. Did he go in? I don't know. At least that was the stat a while ago. So Vince Carter, I think, certainly deserving. Chauncey's going to be one of those borderline guys, I do believe. But he was a good player. It's just at a weird time in the league, you know, like the mid-2000s when the Pistons were dominating and people were not the happiest with the way they played in the Eastern. But they were like a sort of an Eastern Conference dynasty.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, they were always in the Eastern Conference.
They were like,
they're like the Celtics.
They're like the Celtics.
But they got
one. They got through once upon a time.
It's a fair point. It's wild when you think about these two guys. Vince Carter, 8-time All-Star with the Raptors and Nets, you know, sort of earlier in his career. And then he had a whole other decade, you know, bouncing around on other teams to become more of a journeyman to help him score over 25,000 points. He ranks 21st all-time in points scored. 10 straight seasons, I think, of 20-plus points per game. But anyway, 8-time All-Star for Vince, only two All-NBA teams. Very shocking. I think that surprises a lot of people. Two of those came in his first 3 years in the league. This guy played a record 22 seasons. So the All-NBA selections came early. And you compare that to Billups, now 5-time All-Star, he made more All-NBA teams.
That is weird.
Now, different positions and all that, but that's a little telling to me, you know, with Vince. Because both of these guys, look, I've gotten to the point with the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's like they sort of have opened the doors to. It feels like everyone, honestly, if you were notable and you're memorable and you got a couple All-Stars, a couple All-NBA, if you got a Finals MVP or you got a championship, you're good. Come on in. You know, is it broken? Is it watered down? I mean, It feels like it, if I'm being honest. Like, these two guys, even Vince, I'm a Raptors fan, right? Even Vince, I think if you take away the journeyman part, like, give him a more normal career of, let's call it 15 seasons, and, you know, very little playoff success. I think he only won 3 first rounds as the main guy. He won 1 with the Raptors and 2 with the Nets. You take away that, like, is he making the Hall of Fame, or is he helped out by, first off, being extremely likable,
yeah,
by, you know, accumulating stats over the final, like, 6-7 years of his career and all that. And then the same with Billups. Like, you take away the 2004 Finals MVP. It's like, is this enough for these guys? I don't know. It does. They don't scream, like, first ballot Hall of Famers.
I would agree with you.
Right?
Yeah. But I also think we're going to get a lot of guys from the mid-2000s that are like that.
Yeah.
At a time when, you know, basketball wasn't at its greatest, and they had to change the rules, basically, to increase scoring in the league. If you were able to score, like, 18 points a game in 2004... maybe that is Hall of Fame worthy.
True.
But I'm kind of with you. But Vince, I am seeing, did finish 11th in Sixth Man of the Year voting at age 40. So
okay,
that probably helped.
Yeah. When you look back at the last couple of Hall of Fame enshrinements or classes, I guess, 2023, bangers. Dirk, Wade, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker,
okay,
right? But then the year before that, that was the Manu Ginobili, Tim Hardaway. You know, great players, good players. But again, those are levels down.
Mm-hmm.
Manu's helped out by the international career,
yeah,
and all that. Year before that, it's Bosch, it's Pierce. And then it's like guys like Ben Wallace and Chris Webber. Again, those borderline guys. The year before that, 2020, it's an all-timer, Kobe, Duncan, and Garnett. But the one before that, you're talking like Vlade, Sidney Moncrief, Paul Westphal, Jack Sikma. Like there's like levels to this, right? And then the year before that, it's Grant Hill, Ray Allen, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd. If like my point is
ups and downs.
Yeah.
You gotta time your retirements.
A little bit. And this is like a down one if these are the lead NBA guys. And then, you know, there's other guys like we've talked about before. Mitch Richmond felt like he was like a bit of a tipping point one.
Yeah.
Even Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
You know, despite the all NBA selections, all the scoring, not a lot of playoff success. I used to get really upset about this. Now I'm just like, okay, it is what it is.
I'll see your speech.
Yeah, I'll see your speech.
I'll watch you.
I liked you. You were a winner in Billups' case, you know. You were memorable in Vince's case. I mean, you probably kept a franchise in Toronto, for being honest, from what you were doing. So congratulations. But it doesn't feel like the Hall of Fame of old. I don't know. It doesn't. At a certain point, they just were like, hey, come on, Ellen. You know,
come hang out.
You got 5 All-Stars, you got a couple All-NBA. That's enough.
Yeah. Okay. Brings us back to yesterday. Rondo's getting in. You know, Rondo's getting in.
I mean, as a Lowry fan, and I've said this before, you want Billups to go in. That helps the chances of a guy
definitely,
like Kyle Lowry,
yep,
down the line to make it. He's got no Finals MVP. He's got the championship, though. He's got more All-Star selections, less All-NBA, and he's not going to add to that. So it'll be, you know, a little close. But if Billups gets in, you look at the numbers, they're pretty comparable.
Very similar.
They're pretty comparable. But
would you rather be nicknamed Mr. Big Shot or Half Man, Half Amazing?
They're both incredible nicknames.
Great nicknames. Hall of Fame nicknames.
Jesus.
Hall of Names.
Which one would I rather be called? Mr. Big Shot's pretty I mean, Vince also has Air Canada.
He's got a lot of great nicknames.
Yeah.
Vinsanity is cool.
Half Man, Half Amazing is such a good... I'm going to go with that one.
All right, I'll be Mr. Big Shot.
Okay, cool. In other NBA news, just quickly here, the Hornets coach, Steve Clifford, is stepping down at the end of the season. That's it for Steve. We got Steve Kirby in attendance, and we're talking about Steve Clifford.
Got my own coach, Steve, here.
Yeah, that's right. Woj reported that Charlotte's new EVP of basketball operations, Jeff Peterson, and the co-owners there, Rick Schnall and Gabe Plotkin, I just love saying those guys' names, were open to bringing back Clifford as the coach next season, but Steve himself wasn't prepared to commit to another year of the grind. Sounds like Steve Kirby, who just retired, wasn't committed to another year of the grind. Were you shocked by this?
No.
No,
not at all. It definitely seems like Steve Clifford has been done for a long time. The guy was just taking shots at his own team in press conferences like months ago. He's like, everybody can score 16 points a game. Malachi Flynn can score 50 points a game. That's a direct quote from Steve Clifford. But basically, now it's time for him to get out. He said, I just don't see myself in these next few months having the right energy level. I'm just like you. Your best days start when you feel good. Driving in, If you're feeling not at your best, you're not going to have a great day.
Oh, boy.
He's basically like, I dreaded coming into work every day to coach this team. And can you blame him? He has had a really tough hand dealt here.
Yeah.
58 games of LaMelo Ball in the two seasons that Steve Clifford has been the Hornets coach this
the
time
second
around.
Time. Yep.
Even the way he got the job was kind of weird, right? Like, he was with the Hornets from 2013 to 2018. I think he even coached the Bobcats one year. Then he went to the Magic from 18 to 21. Then Kenny Atkinson took this Hornets job and said, actually, I would rather stick with the Warriors as an assistant.
Oh,
so they brought Steve back to hopefully have some sort of an identity. And the identity has been just a disaster for the Hornets. Nothing good has happened for them in the past two seasons. So this just kind of feels like the first step of a house cleaning. We'll see what else happens with their front office and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the timing of this news is of note because it does, in theory, allow the Hornets franchise to get a jump on talking to strong assistants, right?
Sure.
That are obviously with their squads right now, maybe going through playoffs and stuff like that, to get like to them early here, getting their ears, you know, maybe here in the spring and the summer. And it also allows them the opportunity if a high level coach gets canned because of a terrible playoff performance or something like that. And you're like, oh, okay, we'd like that coach to come in here. It sounds like, though, they'll go the route of, you know, a young assistant coach. Woj says Jordy Fernandez of the Kings also coaches Team Canada, just coached them to a bronze medal. People talk highly of Jordy Fernandez.
They got any Canadians on the Hornets? I
don't think so. They should.
Nope.
That's their first problem.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, Charles Lee of the Celtics, his name always comes up. Chris Quinn, the medicine man himself of the Miami Heat, and Kevin Young of the Suns. These are familiar names that you always see here in terms of assistant coaches who might get a crack here. My guess is it probably will be one of these guys, and probably should be, with Brandon Miller, Mark Williams, maybe LaMelo Ball if he can stay healthy. Like, it's not a bad like three guys there to start a team around if they can stay on the court.
Hey, you got a guard, you got a wing, and you got a center.
Right,
that's a good start as long as we can get LaMelo out of these raggedy Pumas.
See,
LeVar was blaming the shoes. I think LaMelo should go back to Big Baller Brand.
Hey, LaVar Ball.
LaVar Ball, yeah.
I said it out loud. I was like, that is his name, right? Hadn't thought about that guy in so long.
I know, he's back, baby.
He's back ripping on the shoes that his kids were in.
Maybe he'll coach.
I'm in Vegas this weekend. I'm putting money on LaVar Ball as the Hornets coach.
I'm with you. They should go for an assistant, though.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine a highly sought-after coach is going to want to take this job at this point in time.
Yeah,
it feels like they're going the other way right now. And, like, I doubt they would trade LaMelo. But I think it was a great season for Brandon Miller. Like, he really put it together. He's been playing on both sides. He seems to be sort of the leader for that team just because he yells at everybody else to get back on defense, which doesn't seem like a commitment that anybody else is willing to make. So I doubt they would trade LaMelo, having signed him to his big deal just recently. But it's tough to build a team around a guy when he's not able to play more than 30 games in a season. So we need to see a 60-game season from LaMelo. Hopefully it's next year alongside Brandon Miller, and you can at least see the outlines of a real team.
And this front office, too, like, it's completely going to be, well, it's basically now overhauled, right? Jordan sells the team. Kupchak's gone.
Yep.
And then, you know, now the coach is gone, so it's going to be the new GM there and new basketball of operations, Jeff Peterson, picking maybe one of these young assistant coaches to give him a chance. We will see. See you later, Steve Clifford. You think he'll be back? I mean, he's 60, I think, young 60s. He's such an old schooly coach, old timey coach.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
I think he's actually a good coach. You
don't
think so? I mean,
makes you think he is?
He's gotten some things out of like teams like his previous Hornets stay, and
yeah, it's true. He coached them the last time they made the playoffs seasons ago.
Well, something,
yeah. But I'm like, the Magic got better when they got a new coach.
Yeah, that one didn't go well.
Yeah,
and then this one, you said it. Like, they started training everyone. Everybody's injured. Like, you can't put much stock into these final 2 years here.
Yeah, but this is the team he would get the most out of, right? Like, you're thinking, want a guy to come in and set a defensive culture, which is exactly what Jamal Mosley has done with the Magic, right? Like, we play defense, we'll figure out the offense. But it's almost the flip side with the Hornets. They're like, we only want to try and play offense, which obviously doesn't mesh with an old school kind of coach like Steve Clifford.
He needs to be an assistant coach on some good team and play his part in them going far. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, worst of the week, nominees.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back in the Classic Factory, do us a favor, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Okay, we are doing the drop, even though it's Thursday, and Trey is taking over for TAS here with Worst of the Week nominees.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
Just loved having this segment back in our lives.
I know, so did I.
And we got some solid nominees. This week, our first is the Wizards Mop Squad. This comes to us from a game on Wednesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. Had some slippage here in the Capital One Arena. It starts with Jordan Poole and Patrick Beverley slipping on one side of the court. The Bucks go down to the other side. Beverley is obviously a little slow to get up here, so the ball comes back for the Wizards. Jordan Poole is going to try and drive to the hoop, but as he drives to the hoop, he slips on where Patrick Beverley had previously slipped, almost slips into Beverley. Both of these guys had to go to the locker room. That's just bad mopping.
Yeah, now do you think a part of it was because Beverley didn't seem to like come into the play on the other end? So the mop squad was like,
they didn't know if they were,
can we mop around him or what are we, yeah, like, can we get out there? But you're right, very dangerous.
Is Drew Gooden on the Wizards broadcast? He was calling him out. He's like, you got to get there.
Well, fair enough.
You got to get there.
Protect the players. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think maybe the mop squad should be allowed like one timeout per game?
Hold on, let us clean.
Like they can throw a coach in football throwing the flag. They can throw a towel and say, like, stop it, stop the play. Yeah. Let us mop here.
Look, it was a quick back and forth.
Yeah.
But I still think they could have got it.
Yeah, they're usually
very fast. So yeah, maybe the Beverly lingering in the lane.
Yeah, I think that's what
was
happened
the
here.
Problem.
Not to make excuses for them, but
quite dangerous.
Very.
They did have a nice shot of them on the broadcast very soon after this. Like they showed all the replays of them slipping, and Pools in particular looked bad. They both did come back in the game, which is good. But they made sure to show us the mop guys getting crazy with them.
Oh, okay. And
refs are telling them here, yeah, pointing out all the wet spots.
I like. Sometimes I'm not convinced those mops do anything.
No?
You ever think that? I don't know. Because in some spills, either someone spills a drink or, you know, a player down because of sweat, whatever, you see them like, they're like, no, we need towels. And they call in the towels to really sop it up. So I'm like, well, do these mops work? Like, I really want to check the integrity of these mops. And are they all different? Does every arena have the same ones?
Maybe it's like a law of diminishing returns kind of thing. Like when, if you have a towel for too long, it just gets worse at absorbing.
Yeah. How often are they upgrading their mops? Getting new ones? Yeah. We need Pablo Torre to.
Pablo finds out.
Yeah, exactly. Get on.
I would love to have like a Bounty paper towel commercial where like they're like, look at the differences in absorption for the different kinds of mops.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just deep into the mop game. I'm always checking on that stuff. Hey, same game for our second nominee here. The Bucks transition defense.
Yeah.
against the Washington Wizards. Gets a worst of the week nominee for me. I mentioned the end of the game one, but this actually happened twice. At the end of the first half, 5 seconds left, Giannis misses two free throws. Anthony Gill gets the rebound off the miss, goes coast to coast for a layup. Then at the end of the game, after a Chris Middleton layup, they just chuck a full court pass. Only Pat Connaughton gets back on defense. He blocks Anthony Gill at the rim. Good play to get back, mm-hmm. but nobody else no. is back for the Bucks. They lost this game by 4 points, Skeets.
Ooh,
those are two
layups. I just saw two buckets, yeah.
I mean, it ain't that easy, but sometimes it is that easy. And that, to me, you combine that with like back-to-back losses against the Wiz and the Grizz. They just don't seem locked in right now. And I'm trying to maintain faith in the Bucks. Like, every time they do something well, I'm like, see, this is a team that can still challenge in the Eastern Conference, could still possibly win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't feel... I don't know. If we did the worried scale, how concerned are you going into this one? I'm at least a level four for the Bucks. They're awesome when everybody's healthy and when the starters are in, but it feels like one guy misses any sort of time and it completely falls apart for this team. I think they're 15-15 under Doc Rivers since he took over. So very much up and down, very much the Chris Middleton Ferris wheel. And what are they, like 18-20 on the road or something like that? He just says they're not serious enough. And look, Doc will call out his team. We know that. But you want to be peaking right now. It's not like they have anything to play for. You know, they are almost locked in the second seed. They could drop, like we said, but it's been a disappointing week for the Bucks.
Yeah. It's what's strange about it is that it's a Giannis-led team. You would never think that effort would be an issue or like being locked in. Like that's sort of like his whole thing, isn't it? Like I know he's a fun, silly guy too, and maybe that's it. They're just sort of like, just hey, let's stay healthy, let's get Chris back into shape, you know, Damian, we'll get him some time off here, and maybe it is that, but like that's not the MO of Giannis that we've led to believe, and I do believe. Like it's just weird to see it translate. It's like, yeah, not getting back against the Wizards, that's just effort, or it's at least like totally attention effort to detail. And it's like, come on, Doc. Like Adrian Griffin, I mean, like, he had more wins, didn't he, than Doc this season?
He was 30-13 or something like that?
I guess what I meant was Rivers already has more losses than Adrian Griffin.
Exactly right.
Yeah, which is weird.
Maybe Joe Prunty is the answer.
Yeah, get Joe still around. Maybe Steve Clifford is the answer. Put him on the bench.
He'll have him getting back. Yeah. I guess Giannis has been playing through injury, too, but...
Oh, he's playing fine.
He's playing fine. he might have had his worst game recently against... the Grizzlies last night. So if he's going to be playing, they got to get more effort from everybody else as well. Otherwise, just rest him. Get him ready for the playoffs if you're going to be losing these games anyway.
Yeah, true, true.
All right, our next Worst of the Week nominee, the Wemby game ball saga. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who to give the Worst of the Week to
Probably Joe Dumars, I guess.
I think so. But... that's a long time ago now. The Spurs beat the Knicks in a classic game. Wemby went for 40-20 to take down Jalen Brunson in his 61-point night. Final play of the game, long pass. Wemby steals it and then just chucks the ball in the stands. Ended up getting fined $25,000 by the league. Wemby said, I know players have gotten fined for throwing the ball in the stands before, but they did it with bad intent. I was just doing it to make somebody's day.
Yeah.
We can't legislate emotion out of the game.
What's the problem? What's the issue? I think the Fantastic Six Trophies podcast were throwing out the idea, could the ball hit a baby? Is that what we're worried about? Because otherwise, what's the big deal? Give the fan a fun souvenir, or they can even throw it back. Now, I would like to say, I came on after that show or after that incident, and I said, because I heard or I read from Brian Windhorst of ESPN, that it wasn't a big deal because the Spurs ball boys went and got the ball. And I guess, you know, got it to either Brunson or the Knicks or whoever wanted it. But then I heard Windhorst say he got a text from the Spurs ball boys that said, that's not true. We did not go and retrieve the ball. So I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know if the ball went home. I don't know who has the ball. And I don't know why this matters. When you throw it in the stands, if you're the home team, and he had a big play and a big game, and he literally gives somebody a high five with his giant alien hand and then chucks it into the stands joyfully. What's the issue?
Just trying to make someone's day.
Like,
you think is it because Jalen Brunson wanted that ball?
Well,
he hasn't said anything about it.
No, I'm convinced he didn't want it. He's like, it came in a loss. He's a winner. Even though 61 is amazing, but they have just like, it's a hardline rule they've come up with. Like, that ball cannot go in the stands. I don't care if you're doing it because you're happy, because you're angry, You can't do it. It's going to cost you $25,000. But I think it's silly.
I would like to know what happened to that ball. Did somebody catch it? He said I was trying to make someone's day. Did he have someone picked out, throws it, goes right to him?
I don't know. I just saw Caitlin Clark throw the game ball to her brother.
There you go.
Beautiful pass.
Yep.
Right on the money. I didn't hear the NCAA finding her, right?
That's exactly right. Come on. That's so true. Maybe if you know who you throw it to, it's okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. They're just holding it for me.
That's my family member.
$25,000 for chucking a ball in the stands.
Jeez.
I think he's got it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fine. All right, this one, we're calling it almost worst of the weekend. It goes to the Ken Garf Automotive Group.
What? Ken Garf sounds like an owner of the Hornets.
Yeah, no offense, Ken Garf. This is an almost worst of the week, though. Jazz Cavs Wednesday night. They called this Threes for Keys promotion by the Ken Garf Automotive Group. You got to hit three threes in the allotted time. The guy made the first two, then missed four from the corner, then chucks up a three, hits his last one from the buzzer. Buzzer goes off. While the ball is in the air,
sure.
Splashes through. As we all know, if you shoot it before the buzzer, it counts.
Right.
Unfortunately, they say no car.
What?
Crowd boos like crazy.
So they're saying because it didn't go in before?
I guess so. That was the
ruling. A lot of time? Wow.
You can see the guy here is like giving the double thumbs down to everybody. He's like, no way, man. The crowd went crazy when he made it.
Wow.
Like, it's exciting to see somebody win one of these promotions. I just saw a guy hit a half court shot to win 10 grand. It was cool.
It's always great.
People pop like crazy.
He hit three NBA threes with a hat on.
With a hat on.
In whatever it was, 60 seconds. Like, you should reward that. And it was. It was clearly good before the buzzer.
Clearly good.
Yeah.
But this is why it's the almost worst of the week, because they came back out.
Okay.
Jazz Bear did a video review. They lit the light. They signaled to Steve Javy.
Wow.
And they gave him the car.
Yes.
They said it counts. We're fired up. Let's push each other. Let's chest bump several times. Let's go. This is literally a scene out of Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
Corn dogs, Jackie Moon.
You know, the panic that was going on in the Ken Garf Automotive group chat or office or probably suite. They're probably at the game in a suite. Pandemonium. They were like, what do we do? What do we do? What are we doing? This is bad PR. We've got to give them the car. Can we give them the car? And they made the right decision. You had to give them the car.
Had to give them the car. Third time this season somebody's won a car for this.
Oh, well, maybe that's why they didn't want to count it.
That's so good.
Ken Garf Automotive is going under, man. Giving the cars away.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Like, it's not just NBA players who are better three-point shooters. It's NBA fans now. Three Jazz fans have made three threes within 30 or 60 seconds. I don't know what it is. That's pretty impressive. So, Ken Garf, you saved yourself.
Wow.
I feel like it was Ken himself who made that call.
You think so?
No, give him the car.
Yeah.
We got a lot on the lot.
Yeah, Ken.
Nobody's buying right now.
They got Chevys, Chryslers, Fords, Hondas. They got it all.
Wow.
At Ken Garf Automotive in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we're big Ken Garf fans over here. Yeah. Unfortunately, I do have to add another Worst of the Week nominee, which is coming through the wires right now, Skeets. It's from Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted, breaking, after 2 months of rehabilitation to attempt to return to the New York Knicks, all NBA forward Julius Randle will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery.
That sucks.
Terrible timing. Yep. That's what a real worst of the week.
I thought he was playing tennis.
He was playing tennis. He was on his way back, it seemed like.
Man, brutal, brutal. So he is done for the season. They're just electing to have surgery now.
Yeah, having surgery. I guess there was talk when it happened, will he be having surgery or will he rest it? And they obviously wanted a chance of Randle actually coming back for the playoffs.
So they gave it a go. And now,
He's done.
I mean, I guess in the end, it didn't really matter. If he had to have gotten surgery, would he have been able to return this season?
That's probably the thing, is if he had surgery when it first happened, he likely is out.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season anyway. Right. So they tried to get him back, but it obviously didn't go well enough. I mean, if we still don't know what's going to happen with OG either.
They're changing
his injury designation, and he came back, then he got hurt, then he's now back out again. So maybe Josh Hart was right. Maybe they aren't coming back, and it'll be a pleasant surprise. We know Randle is done. That's too bad. And then OG, I guess, is a question mark. But this Knicks team has been playing pretty well with the guys that they actually have. So
Jalen Brunson, drag him to a couple playoff series win. Can the Villanova Knicks do it here? Okay, that sucks. Yeah, they need OG back to obviously make sort of any noise in the postseason. But, brutal addition to Worst of the Week there. Who are you ultimately giving it to with your nominees? Remove the Randle one because that one just sucks.
Yeah, I'm giving it to the Bucks.
Okay.
Left a bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
You got to get back.
You got to get.
You're trying to win a championship. You got to get back on Anthony Gill.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. Anthony Gill. You got to put a little sweat into stopping Anthony
That's
Gill.
That's right. Yeah. Can't just roll over for Anthony Gill.
All right. We got to take one more break. When we come back, rapid fire fun. Don't go anywhere.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
So Julius Randle out for the remainder of the season. They is electing to get shoulder surgery to take care of that. I was just reminded that Randle in the summer of 2023 had ankle surgery. So this is two consecutive summers here, spring/summers, where he's actually having to get surgery. Last year the off-season ankle surgery, and then this year, obviously, the shoulder. Sucks for Randle, who was having a monster season. 24-9-5. He was an all-star, shooting really well. Stringing it together, but look, the Knicks are going to be in as long as they keep OG and sign him, which we think they will. They're still going to have basically their same team, so they got to look a little ahead to next season, and of course they're still in the playoffs this year. All right, before we go here, because it is the drop, we got some rapid fire questions that are never all that rapid. I'll ask them, I'll answer them with you guys. First one, the Pacers social media team asked their players an important question this week. What's the appropriate temperature to start wearing shorts? Tyrese Halliburton, who was wearing shorts in the clip, said about 65. Must have been about 65 that day. A bunch of guys thought around 60, and good old Canadian boy Andrew Nembhard said 20 degrees Celsius. Ah, JD, how great was that to see an NBA player say Celsius?
Oh my god, I loved it.
I loved it. But question is for you guys here: when does shorts season officially begin to you, TK?
I feel like our answers might be skewed here, living in the South, where it gets warm in like February and you can start wearing shorts. So I had to throw it back to my Midwest days.
Okay.
When it would start turning towards springtime, I would watch the Weather Channel on the 8s, looking for a 50. Anywhere.
Okay.
In Illinois. If I saw a 50, shorts on.
So you're in Plano, And if you saw 50 in any other part of the state,
St. Louis, East St. Louis, it's 50 degrees, Rockford,
then you were good to go.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, it's 50 somewhere. I'm putting on shorts. 50 is too soon to start wearing shorts, I would say.
That's pretty chill.
But when you're young, you'll wear shorts anytime you can.
Oh, I knew a guy in Toronto, JD, your friend.
Yeah, Scott.
I never saw him wear pants.
He never wore pants.
True never. Story. Never saw that man wear pants.
And he rode a bike to work every day. He once got pulled over by cops on his bicycle.
Because they thought something's wrong.
It's a wellness check. It was a blizzard, you know, 20 below, shorts, this guy.
Now, his whole thing, he says he had no pain receptors in his leg. Wasn't that his thing?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, fascinating.
I do feel like my legs get less cold than the rest of my body.
Yeah, 100%. Same. 100%.
Why?
I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah,
It's weird. I mean, I feel like I could almost wear here. You could almost wear shorts year round. You really could.
Probably. Yeah.
You'd be chilly a handful of days.
The laundry day, I'm definitely wearing shorts in Georgia. And Trey, my answer is exactly the same as yours, but 10 degrees Celsius, which is 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
10 Celsius is 50 Fahrenheit.
Yep.
Which, again, is fairly chilly.
It's chilly, but I will add one caveat. It has to be sunny. Sun's shining, 10 degrees, I think you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. My answer to this is, when does short season officially begin? Is whenever Tass rolls into the Classic Factory wearing shorts. The first day of the calendar year, when Tass comes in rocking shorts, I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's like seeing that first Robin.
Season. Yeah. That's right. Tass's legs are like seeing the first Robin.
That's right.
That is, spring is here when I see that Greek man's legs. So that's my answer. Which is probably, what would you say? He probably pulled it out.
I would say 15 Celsius.
So yeah, you ever get like 60.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
Part
of it. Big part.
Gams out.
All right. Next one here. Lots of talk recently about the play-in tournament. Can the Suns climb out of it? Well, they just did. Can the Sixers do that? Can the Rockets get in the thing? Can the Bulls and Hawks decide who's hosting the play-in game? It's play-in this, it's play-in that, but I want to know, what's something that's played out? How about that pivot?
That's great, man.
Yeah? It's all play-in. I want to know what's played out.
I was racking my brain on this one. And I think the thing that's played out is dropping a whole season of shows at once.
Good one.
I love a weekly release.
Episodic.
Got it going right now for Shogun. Got it going right now for X-Men 97.
Okay.
What a throwback to the olden days of waiting and getting anticipation and being excited when you see there's a new episode of your favorite show coming out.
It's nice to like have a week to talk about the show too. Yeah. Like to dive into the theories and whatever. Get on the Reddits or get on Twitter and, you know, talk it out a little bit.
And you don't feel like you're way behind on something. Yeah. Like, you know, if the whole thing comes out and people are watching it in an entire weekend, you're like, well, I guess this one's just not for me. I'm not going to be part of the conversation. But when it's spread out, you can easily fit in 45 minutes here, 30 minutes there.
I'm with you on this, because also when it's all released, and yeah, you're loving it. Oh, let's start another one. And then that ends. Oh, let's just go into another one. But that's like binging on anything.
Right.
It's like, you know, that's like just have endless supply of chocolate. Like, I'm just going to keep eating it. Yeah. I just got my Girl Guide cookies. What do you call them here?
Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
Girl Guide in Canada. It's a Celsius Fahrenheit thing. We're guides up there, not scouts. And I cracked open the box and I'm like, here we go. I can't stop these adventurefuls. They're too good.
But what if you could get Girl Guide cookies delivered 3 per day?
Perfect.
Wow.
Not too much. You're not overdosing.
A little labor intensive, but okay.
No. Pair it with my socks coming once a day. Just socks and cookies.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
But anyway, that's a great one. So played out. Yeah, dropping an entire season on any of these platforms.
Yep.
All right. What do you got,
Jamie? I agree. Mine is super petty.
Okay.
I got onto the internet and I was like, I struggled a little and I was like, what's played out? What are we all sick of? And I all this stuff was coming up. And I was like, you know what? Let the people have their fun, you know? Like, let them do their thing. But there was one thing, and this is jumping into no buffs. I'm sorry, everybody, but...
Okay, be careful. No spoilers.
No spoilers here, but mismatched socks. I don't know why.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it. Especially the funky socks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're cool designs and stuff. which are kind of played out as well, but
yeah.
Just seeing two mismatched funky socks, even if they're the same color-ish, it just hurts my eyes. I just can't.
So who was doing this on Survivor? This
well, Mariah and Liz does it, yeah. Who are kind of the same person a little bit, which doesn't help.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know why. Like, there's a cinematic shot, you know, of them. They're walking into the challenge, and Liz is up front, and she's got two different socks on, and I don't know. It's just like, it's supposed to be cinematic, but it just looks like, I don't know, Napoleon Dynamite or something sure, coming at me. Sure. Not that's a terrible example, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like it's too much for my, here. It's too quirky. Okay. Too quirky.
Okay, good answers, guys. As for myself, something that's played out, paying someone to do your taxes. I'm over it. I'm done. This was the last year I paid anyone to do my taxes.
Yeah.
They're not hard. And I used to do them. I don't know why I stopped. I think I got in my head, oh, now I own a house. Now I've got investments. Oh, there's going to be too many numbers for Skeetsy to figure out. It's not hard. Just do one of these TurboTax things, or whatever. You just plug them in. They does it for you.
Yeah.
And it's like a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
That's the other part. You're like, I couldn't believe how much I had to pay my accountant to do it or whatever, my tax specialist.
Yeah.
What? That took you 5 seconds.
Yeah, but you're thinking they know tricks, right?
I know, but they're not showing me the tricks.
They're not
and I don't
you
think
the
they're
tricks.
Doing tricks because there's no tricks to do with my books.
You can't cook them.
You can't cook them.
Yeah.
you're bored, man.
You're super simple, though. You're
super simple.
It's just like, what are you going to write off some dog toys? And, you know, like, you
and
can't.
And I'm not doing that. That's too much work.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, whatever. Just tell me how much I owe.
Write off some dog toys.
No, you're right. 100% right.
So I'm doing them. Doing them next year.
Yeah, it's the foreign country thing that gets to me.
I think I got scared about that.
Yeah, I'm still scared.
I'm like, what happens? The IRS is gonna be on me.
Yeah,
they're gonna kick me out of the country if I mess up.
Yeah,
I better pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
First off, they don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to be doing something illegal for them to care.
Yeah.
So I'm fine there, and this is not hard to do.
It's the what the hell factor, like. If you get audited or they send something back, you have somebody to go, hey, what the hell?
That's true. That's true. There is an out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I don't know. Is it worth
like
that
so
much money?
So little.
Yeah, you're right.
You watch. I'm going to do my taxes next year. And then, sure enough.
Full audit.
Yeah, exactly.
We got them. We've been waiting for this.
All right. Final one here. The Sabrina versus Steph 3-point contest was a highlight of All-Star Weekend in Indy. And with the 2025 All-Star Weekend in the Bay Area, Shams is saying there's talk of the contest evolving into a 2-on-2 competition, potentially with Caitlin Clark joining Sabrina and Klay Thompson, or Oakland native Damian Lillard joining Steph Curry. So that's pretty fun. That'd be a nice extension of that event. And we know that Commissioner Silver has hinted at just straight up axing the All-Star game. This guy's over it. He's fed up. The NFL did it with the Pro Bowl. Maybe the NBA will do it with the All-Star game and just say, you know what? Let's explore other competitions, sort of like the Pro Bowl has done. So, with that thinking, what unique event would you like to see added to NBA All-Star Weekend? You can get as crazy as you want here. What do you got?
I want a trick shot contest.
Okay.
While Luka Doncic is in the league, I mean, Horse was boring to me when they brought it back, and it was just like, who can shoot the farthest threes? Everybody can do that right now.
Yeah.
But Luka and Jokic during practice, like when they were just messing around, shooting shots like from half court, shooting bounce-in shots. We obviously have seen Luka make one off the Jumbotron, and he just hit like the 20-foot finger roll. He had a crazy lefty scoop that we didn't even talk about this week as well. I would like to see what they can pull out. I don't know how you judge it necessarily, because I don't want to be like, can you match this? Can you match this?
Right.
Where else, rating them doesn't seem to make the most sense either. So I kind of just want it to be practice, where they're just doing cool shots and making them.
Honestly,
like with bigger spotlights on it.
They should do. I mean, it's Horse what you're saying, or the trick shots, but like, the problem is doing it live.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. But it could be incredible if like you put these guys in a gym for an hour and a half, and you film it.
Yeah.
And then you produce it.
Right.
And you get the best of the best and some of that. But then, of course, it's not live in the arena for All-Star Weekend, so that'd be a little weird. But
what if it was like rhythmic gymnastics, where
go on.
You were just given a ball, you're given a song, You have a set of yeah, exactly.
You want to dunk? Go nuts.
If you want to dunk, you want to do like a half court shot. You want to do off the scoreboard or whatever, and then you just finish the song. You can incorporate costumes, dancers, whatever you want. Just put on a show for 3 minutes.
Right.
And
I guess we judge it.
And you judge it. You got Shaq, you got Reggie down there. Well, you know, and they're just judging, you know. Get Brian Botano down there as well. I don't know. a Russian gymnastics judge just to foil everything. Oh,
yeah. You got to get a guy from Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
You got to get Shaq, and you got to get a figure skater.
Okay.
They know.
Okay. Okay, good idea.
I like it.
Is that your, I mean, as you sort of tweak that answer? You got
yes, in a way. So here, I think that they should get rid of the game itself.
Game, gone.
Everyone loves a parade, and we're going to warm cities.
I hate parades.
No, I know. I hate parade. You hate a parade, but most people love a parade.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So you do like a final style parade, right? So, you know, hey, these are the All-Stars. You trot them out. Because that's the biggest thing about the All-Star game is
it's
just
like, wow, you're an All-Star.
Here's a guy, and he's an All-Star. He's a 7-time All-Star. Cool, yeah. And just all the graphics and all that stuff.
Okay.
But it's a parade, and it goes into the arena where what's waiting for them, sort of Hunger Games, not deadly or anything, but they don't know what's going to happen. So they get in there, and this year, cornhole.
Okay, right.
Or
bago first.
Slam ball. Or
they don't know the event.
They don't know, and so you still fill the arena. So the bus literally comes in, and it's like darts. Guys, we're doing darts. Curling.
Yeah.
All drinking stuff, because they're going to be drinking on the bus anyway, you know, like Marc Gasol style, chugging wine and stuff.
Loosen them up a little bit.
Roller derby. Whatever. Pickleball, of course. You're wet. Yeah, of course. I have to throw it in there.
5 minutes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, with the
parade in.
Let's see what they do.
Or the trick shot contest.
It'd be a great unveil.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
You ever watch the show Physical 100 on
Netflix? Oh, yeah.
They do the great, like, they don't know what it's going to be,
right.
And then they show them, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Who can hang the longest?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I just started season 2 of the Korean version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you watch it in the original, or do you dub it?
I don't dub it.
Yeah. The dubbing's kind of funny.
Yeah, but we tried it, and Nora can't stand it.
Yeah,
I can live with it a bit, but I'll read the subtitles.
Yeah, no.
It's such a funny show, though. It's so funny. When I really stop and think about it. And the Korean part, I love. They're so kind. The first episode is my favorite when they all come in one at a time.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, that's like a judo master.
Yeah.
And like, oh, look how big that guy is. Yeah. I love that part. Okay, great answers. Mine's sort of similar to yours, honestly, JD. I just went with like carnival games.
Mm.
So ring toss, balloon darts, the one where you use the mallet to hit the target.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know what you call that thing. You could obviously include the basketball shootout part with the rims are smaller,
tiny
rims, and they're at stupid heights. And, you know, you could even put, like, Commissioner Silver on a dunk tank.
Hell yeah.
And then maybe, like, hit 10 threes in a row or something. Like, get him involved.
Yes.
So, you know, because they're all seem to be angry that they're at All-Star Weekend.
Right, exactly.
So
make it
take
fun.
Your anger out on him. Dunk him.
Dunk him.
Or dunk to dunk.
The dunk contest. Ooh,
wow. Well,
that'd be pretty cool, actually. You dunk a ball, and if it goes in, commissioner gets dunked in a dunk tank.
All right. A few ideas. Free ideas for you there, Commissioner
here.
Silver. Use any of them that you want. Just give us some, invite us to the game at the very least.
Yeah. Or celebrity game, maybe.
Celebrity game. There you go. All right, that's rapid fire. Not so rapid. That's the drop on a Thursday. They said it couldn't be done, but we did it. I think it was a classic, but you tell us. Leave us a 5-star rating and review, podcast listeners. Hit the like button if you're on YouTube. Subscribe. Share the show. Thanks, everybody, for helping us hit 100,000 subs on YouTube this week. Big achievement for your boys. Reminder coming up in a few hours. No buffs. Talking about mismatched socks. On Survivor there last night, episode 6. We'll break it all down, and then tomorrow, premiering at 10 a.m. Eastern on our YouTube page, you'll get the podcast right around that time. Handle with Care, a film session about this great basketball documentary. Tass and Trey talking with the two directors there, Jeremy and Kirk, about this doc. So I can't wait for that. That's tomorrow, and then you and Tass will be back on Monday.
Yes, indeed.
With some NBA weekend winners and losers. I will not. I will hopefully be okay in Vegas, recovering from a marathon that is quite downhill, guys. Elevation drop. Very scary.
Elevation drop?
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, you're running down a mountain.
Yeah, yeah. I am running down a mountain.
You in fact, you're going to win?
Yeah, because I'm going to tuck and roll. Sonic style! Hopefully I don't hit anything. Rings are going to come popping out of me. It's quite the drop. And, you know, I said this, it's going to be quite cold. It's going to be like, I'm going to be wearing shorts, of course.
Yeah.
But it might be like 30 at the start of the race.
At the top.
In this desert mountain I'm on. Yeah, so anyway, I won't be here Monday, but the guys will be. So help them out. Join them. Suggest your NBA weekend winners and losers, because there's a lot of basketball on this weekend. We got the Final Four in both the men's and women's tournament. It's WrestleMania this week as well.
Two-night event.
Oh, my God. Saturday and Sunday. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So, holy. What a weekend.
We got some Final Fours coming. Wait.
Somebody's going to hit 8 home runs in the Mets-Reds game because my buddy Grish is there. It's going to be a crazy weekend in the sports world. So join the guys on Monday. Thanks for joining us here. Until all of that, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And Skeets, we got confirmation. Tass has left the boat.
He left the boat.
He left the boat.
He went to a beach.
Went to a beach.
In the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And he got sunburned.
Wow.
So if you put money down on Tass is going to a beach at -115,
wow,
feel free to collect.
Wow. And I guess Worldwide Wob was right. The sun, the most dangerous.
Quite dangerous.
To Tass Ellis.
So dangerous.
Wear your sunscreen this weekend, okay, everybody? Embrace the weekend, people.